Buongiorno. My name is Lauren. I'm a writer, food lover, and creator of Cooking Vacations Italy, a culinary tour company. I married Reno, an Italian race car driver, and we live in sunny Italy where we welcome guests to our Italian kitchen and share our way of living on the Amalfi Coast. We live on a vertical cliff, 100 stairs down, overlooking Positano and the Tyrrhenian Sea. We're surrounded by olive and lemon trees, and grapevines grow everywhere. From our terrace, we can almost reach out and touch Capri. Follow me in the garden, where we grow Mediterranean fruits and vegetables in the rhythm of the seasons. We use our farm-to-table ingredients, including our own olive oil, in local cuisine. Join us as we travel, cook, and experience life in Italy.
Hello and welcome. I'm Jordan Rich, and I'm just thrilled to be back with Lauren Birmingham on this podcast, cookingvacations.com. And she's the author of a new book, a great new book. It's A Dream Place, stories and recipes of food, love, and the Amalfi Coast. And today, a trip to a magical land.
Montalcino is a sleepy little Tuscan town nestled right between Pienza. It's in Tuscany.
So lots of Tuscan sunshine, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
What makes Montalcino a standout from other beautiful towns in Italy, in your opinion?
It's very precious. It's frozen in time. You know, we like to stay in Montepulciano, where it's a bigger village, and drive to Montalcino for the day. The road that curves through the Val d'Orcia is brimming with fields of yellow sunflowers, rolling fertile vineyards, silvery green olive orchards, and those century-old cypress trees that pepper the landscape sort of just coast and guide you along. It's also a UNESCO village, so it's pretty special. The most picturesque stop along the way are the cypresses of the San Quirico in Dorcia, and there's a famous chapel of the Madonna there, and it's also the place where Gladiator was filmed, the Oscar-winning movie with Russell Crowe.
Excellent. What does the UNESCO signify?
When something is UNESCO, it's protected, and they can't build on it. They can't change it. They have to stay with that original blueprint, whether it's a village, whether it's the Amalfi Coast. So it's pretty, once one has the UNESCO sort of golden sticker, it's a very important recognition.
Mm. Like so many exotic, wonderful places in Italy we've talked about, this sounds absolutely romantic and wonderful. I know you and Reno were talking about the road up there. The drive is just spectacular, I'm told.
You know, as Reno and I are driving here today from Montepulciano to Montalcino, when one thinks of Montalcino, they think of Brunello. It's the land of Brunello, the precious wine made with 100% Sangiovese grapes. As we're driving along the road, we stop to take some beautiful pictures. It really looks surreal with these ancient cypress trees that just grow there overlooking the landscape. And we stop because we smell a barbecue. And the barbecue is a bistecca alla fiorentina, the famous Chianina steak. It has to be specially grilled over red-hot coals in a special way. It has to be done this way, served always rare in the middle. And we stop, we're taking some pictures, and then we see a farmer walking along the way. And he said, "Oh, that's my wife. It's our farmer's lunch. Would you like to come home for lunch?" And this is just the way things happen in Italy, very serendipitously, with passion all the time. But we pass on the lunch because we want to continue to Montalcino, you know, which is this beautiful town known for its wine. And it's 560 meters above sea level. That's a little over 1,840-something feet. This position of Montalcino gives it sort of a halo for wine growing because it's elevated, it's in between the two coasts of Italy, the west and the east coast, and coupled with the volcanic soil and the winds, it's just really a perfect recipe for growing these beautiful Sangiovese grapes.
What's the population? It sounds like an idyllic spot, and on the smaller side, do you know how many people actually live there?
Around 3,000 people. or under. And once you arrive to Montalcino and you're at the top, it's literally a 360-degree view of the Val d'Orcia. The Val d'Orcia is really a patchwork of evergreen landscape. You see straight lines of vineyards going left, going right, going up, going straight, creating this green patchwork of just Mother Nature at her best.
Is there a particular time of the year when you recommend people visit? What is the peak season for this place?
I would say any season based on, you know, what your own interest is. If you really want a sleepy, bluesy feeling, you know, January, February, March, April is the time when the farmers harvest and plant. So there's this regeneration of life there. With you'll see little shops selling plants, selling trees. Summer is beautiful because it's a cool destination because of its elevation. Of course, we like to go at the end of September when it's high season, grape time. Montalcino is very precious also because it's not on a giant port or a train station, so there's not a lot of crowds. Even when we went at the end of September, it's easy to park, it's easy to walk around. It's a magical place for food, for wine. We like to stop in our favorite trattoria right in the piazza, and this restaurant is set on the loggia, which are those beautiful vaulted arches, and the chairs spill onto the terrace. In fact, there was a famous writer called Leon Battista, and he once wrote, Montalcino is such a beautiful place, there should be a loggia, which are these sort of terraces under arches, in every piazza for young and old, babies and elderly too, just to meet and sit.
Let's talk a little bit about the trattorias, the restaurants, the dining scene. You know, how would you describe it? Is there a range of dining from simple to elegant, or how does that work?
There's one particular restaurant that's a little bit more elegant, but we like the one in the square called Le Loggia. Montalcino, they're farmers, they're winemakers. Most of them have shops in the little town where you can taste not only their wines, but other winemakers. It's a very close-knit community. So in the typical trattorias, you would see lots of grilled vegetables, stuffed cabbage, their Tuscan soups, the ribollita, which is the reboil soup. As farmers cook through the week, they'll just add more vegetables from their garden or their pantry. Lots of pappardelle with wild boar, the funghi, the mushrooms with the delicate tagliatelle egg noodle pasta. You'll see the stuffed nudi, which are called little nude ones, which are a simple pasta made with semolina, flour, eggs, and spinach, served in a butter and sage sauce. Lots of the grilled, barbecued Chianina beef, or the Fiorentina, as it's called, with roasted potatoes and rosemary. Reno and I had, it was called the tricolor. It had it was three kinds of broccoli. I've never seen it before. Purple broccoli, white broccoli, and green broccoli, charred to a brown and just drizzled with sea salt and olive oil, and it was out of this world. So the food is very wholesome, hearty. It's very reasonably priced, unlike the bigger cities or the islands or the Amalfi Coast.
Right. We know that so many of the fabulous places in Italy are sort of known for a particular dessert item. Is there a pastry item that is centered in Montalcino?
They're famous for the panettone because panettone came from Siena, and the Sienese ruled that area throughout time. So there's a strong influence of anything that's from Siena in Montalcino, including the panaforte, which is the very dense, low cakes made with fig, orange marmalade, lots of spices, cinnamon, cardamom, chunks of almond, lemon zest. There's also the cantucci, the twice-baked biscotti, filled with nuts of almonds or hazelnuts, and they're dipped in Vinsanto, which is the blessed wine.
And Lauren, share with us a little bit about the cooking vacations experience and where Montalcino factors in.
We have a cooking vacations in Montepulciano, which is a 45-minute drive. and we spend a day in Montalcino. If someone really wants to be moody bluesy, we also have a tour that's right in a vineyard in Montalcino. It's called Tuscan Vineyards and the Val d'Orcia, cooking and a Brunello wine tour. A note on Brunello di Montalcino. They're so serious about their wine and its limited production that there's a consorzio, Del Vino Brunello di Montalcino, which they have a serious long list of rules and protocol that must be followed when making this prize wine. The most important is that the wine must be made with 100% Sangiovese grapes, no mixing. Jordan, the interesting thing is the date of the wine needs to be put on the market for sale on January 1st of the fifth year after the harvesting. So Sangiovese grapes and the date of the wine being put on the marketplace for sale must be January 1st of the fifth year after harvesting. During this time, the wine must be aged 5 years, two of which must be placed in oak barrels. And then, of course, Brunello literally translates to the little brown one, referring to the color of the grape.
So, Lauren, as a fan of so many parts of Italy, you are so well-versed, you would say make this a definite stop if you get a chance, correct?
Make Montalcino a definite stop. It's off the tourist tracks. The little village is frozen in time. There's a fortress I forgot to mention. There's a fortress that's built in an octagonal shape. It dates back to the 13th century. It was built to protect the town from invasions. It's set on the Via Franginea. It's the pilgrimage route from England to Rome. So this town was a stopping point, and in those days, people were on foot or horseback. So you must think that they had to climb up here to take a rest. And the people of the town built this octagonal fortress. And today you can visit it inside or at the four bell towers and see a sweeping view of the Val d'Orcia. But the most interesting thing in the world, Reno and I entered into a wine bar now that's been built inside the fortress with thousands and thousands of bottles of Brunello throughout the years. So the great thing about this wine bar is you can try any kind of Brunello under the sun there from way back before to present day Brunello. It's just a fascinating experience.
Thank you for listening. And remember to subscribe and download future episodes. To find out more about us, visit cooking-vacations.com. Ciao, grazie.